Thanks for downloading the Overdrive podcast. Do not forget to follow us on Instagram at TSN1050, where there will be Insta stories, some best of clips from the show, and some very cool contest opportunities to win tickets and more. Again, on Instagram at TSN1050.
It's Mail It In Friday.
I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Yeah, it's Mail It In Friday.
I just stare at my desk, but it looks like I'm working.
So what?
I'd say in a given week, I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050, the official voice of the Leafs.
Bittersweet Friday here because it's the O-Dog's birthday today, so we're excited about that. We've got trivia in about an hour. Masters and Siegel will be in here, and Kara Wagland will be in here as well, and Noodles will be a part of it for the first time, so that's exciting stuff. But Austin Matthews is injured, and we don't know exactly what's going on. It sounds as if it's more than likely a shoulder, but no one's going to define that, and no one's going to be able to confirm that because that's not the way the Leafs operate. Why would they possibly explain to anybody what's actually happening?
Yeah, it's not happening.
Why would they feel any obligation to let their massive fan base
know? Well, didn't Babb say today, though, it's a shoulder? And
yeah, I thought he came out and kind of... I mean, nobody's lying about it.
I don't know. Maybe there were so many tweets, but...
That's the problem. It's either speculation or whatever, but I don't think they're not that transparent.
Right, no, now. They're never that transparent. But he said, Babcock said that Matthews will be out for a bit, and it sounds like he's going to be okay long term. I mean, we were talking about this off the top. As long as he doesn't have to undergo surgery,
correct.
As long as we're not talking about them like putting screws in his shoulder or something like that.
Because surgery means you're not coming back this year.
You're done for the year if you have surgery.
Right.
And by now, they would know if he needs surgery. They had the MRI this morning. They'd get a read on that almost immediately.
Immediately.
They know. Mm-hmm. They know what's going on. And if we haven't heard word of surgery, then that means I'm sure they're hopeful that they can rehab it and he can return. And if you use Mitch Marner as an example last year, he had a shoulder problem himself, and I believe he missed 5 games. And that was probably, in fact, I know it was, a more difficult injury to accept because they were in a fight for their life last year.
Right.
Like when he got injured around the same time, give or take, it was in and out of a playoff spot, fighting for position. They're 21 points into the playoffs.
Yeah, their position's not going to change.
It's not changing. So if Matthews misses 10 games, okay, you miss 10 games.
Okay, like, who cares? It's not going to affect their playoff standing. But you want him
probably
to be
healthy. If it's anything like 10 games, they're finishing third.
Well, that's the question. I mean, all they do is win these days. Last night was a kind of strange game, and they battled back, and they went in a shootout. But they're, what are they, 12-2 over the last 14 games since making the lineup changes. 8 in a row at home.
Mm-hmm.
They got Boston in town tomorrow at Tampa on Monday. These are the two teams within their world. They're all in the same world. It's an arms race right now. And if you want to catch Boston or Tampa, you probably have to win both of these games. You got to win at least one of them. But I would say that if you expect Matthews to come back at any point over the next 6 weeks before the playoffs, then that's probably the only effect it's really going to have
right
on this season is it might lock you into the three spot, which they may have been going towards anyway, even if Matthews was healthy and avoided injury last night. As well right. as they're playing, Boston and Tampa keep winning too.
Well, maybe they'll have a little drop-off too. Never know.
They might. I mean, listen, it might
actually... They seem to be doing things all at the same time, all three of them.
Yeah. Well, Marchand was suspended for 5 games, and they went 5-0 or 4-1 without him.
When Matthews got hurt earlier in the season, didn't they go 5-0?
They did, but then when he got injured again, they went 2-4, I believe it was.
Well, and he came back, it was a little bit cold to start that off. So, hey, it happens. Your best player sometimes gets nicked up, and he's a big guy. All you hope that is there's not structural damage.
Nothing that can linger.
Exactly.
Nothing that can lead to you being concerned about him being that guy with the bad shoulder, and every time he gets hurt, you wince a little bit.
I've had them, buddy. It's not fun. All it takes is one good hit. Boom. Done. I need both of my shoulders. I've had my right shoulder operated on twice. I need it done again, and I need my left shoulder operated on. Not fun.
Next summer.
No.
July 2nd.
July 2nd. The surgery goes down.
September 7th.
You'll be off for the whole summer and then have surgery the
day
after.
You want to ruin your golf season? I don't care.
What are you, on tour?
You're on tour now. I'm not under contract next year, so as of right now, I don't care.
So you're Eric Carlson.
Go ahead, do whatever you want.
Yeah.
You're technically Eric Carlson.
That's right.
So let's trade him then. Let's trade you.
Go ahead.
So whose bad deal should we include with him?
Steph. Let's put Steph.
Steph and Tyler and me to get out.
A package deal. Let's send them somewhere.
Absorb.
Who can we bring in?
Laziness. Yeah.
No, we wouldn't do that to Steph.
I don't think it would. Nobody would absorb that deal.
We'd never do that. Bob McKenzie will join us here in a moment. I do wonder if these injury problems would affect the contract talks at all this summer. If Matthews ends up missing 20 games, so he doesn't put up the same numbers as you expected that he would be. He doesn't have the same case based on stats that McDavid did after 2 years.
McDavid won the Hart.
I know that. But if Matthews was healthy and was on pace for 45 goals and 80 points, he may have been up for the Hart as well. This is a strange year for the Hart. It's Kucherov, Bergeron, Wheeler, Kopitar. Like, the usual suspects are not up for it.
Yeah.
For the most part.
You're right.
McKinnon.
Yeah. Claude Giroux's getting love.
Although I think McKinnon's, because of the injury and stuff, and Colorado's not going to make it.
No, he's not in anymore.
I don't consider him in. The guy I think who for me, is Bergeron. I think he's been unreal. That team.
I think he could win the Hart Trophy, and he would deserve it.
He's been great.
He's the best two-way player in the world. He's added the goals, the record, the team's unbelievable. It's like he's the guy.
Now, it's tough to discount Kucherov because all the guy's done since the start of the season has been at the top of the scoring board. It's not his fault.
No,
yeah, he plays
not on
a good team.
Oh, he'll be nominated for sure.
For sure.
He's a lock to be nominated.
Blake Wheeler?
I think so.
Scheifele goes down. He slides to center ice position, maybe he played it at lower levels.
Got to give Wheeler some love.
Have to give
him
some
love. The thing is, though, you guys tell me if I'm wrong with this. It's almost like Blake Wheeler, if the name is not sexy enough to win the Hart Trophy. Do you know what I mean? Because he's always kind of been that secondary guy. And I think if it comes down to a Bergeron or a Kucherov, it's like the name Blake Wheeler, he's who has kind of never been that guy. I don't think he jumps over everybody and wins it.
Well, it stinks.
He could easily get nominated, but never win it.
But take a look at the market he plays in. Winnipeg.
Jamie, you played with Chris Pronger, and you know back in the day, it was always Niedermeyer, Lidstrom, and Chris Pronger. And if some other guy had a surprise year, it was like an honorable mention, but you ain't winning you know what.
Yeah. Wheeler, if you look at him consistently, 26 goals or more in the last 4 or 5 years. Like, the guy is Mr. Consistent. He's 31 years old. I think that's something that, he's been around and always been, to your point, viewed as kind of a secondary guy. Not the head guy, but a secondary guy. But people in Winnipeg would argue that's not the case. Great leader. Works hard. Paul Maurice can't stop raving about this guy as far as how he's helped that whole team. Patrick Laine, all of these young kids to become a pro because they watch him work and work and work. I would love to see it just because a lot of times you always look past people. And Brian, I think you're right on with your point. This is not a traditional year whatsoever.
No, it's not.
The Vegas Golden Knights are right up. Who's their MVP?
I would say Carlson or Marchessault. I would think, but neither
of them one of those guys are being nominated.
No, they're not going to be nominated.
We just continue to look past people that have had great seasons.
There's been a lot of great seasons. That's the thing. There's been Claude Giroux's having a great year.
Exactly.
Voracek, Johnny Gaudreau.
Johnny Gaudreau, somebody sent me a note today, and they're not wrong. Gaudreau, nobody talks about him.
How about Malkin?
Second in league scorer.
Malkin's won an MVP before. Malkin's been unbelievable.
Yeah, he might get tossed in there too.
I think what will cancel him out is Phil's been great, Sid's been great.
That's what happens. Everyone talks about somebody else. That's what it is. They're always, look at the team he plays on, look at who he plays with.
But Phil's kind of what I'm talking about with Wheeler. It's like Malkin just trumps him, and it's like it's about Malkin.
Generally it is. All right, Bob McKenzie just sent this tweet out. Bob tweeting out that Pitt in Ottawa deal involving Brassard is ultra complicated, so much so that Brassard will likely be traded to another team first and then flip to Pittsburgh. And here is Bob McKenzie on Overdrive, brought to you by Finances. So what's going on? Does this mean that Brassard hasn't officially been dealt?
Well, there's never anything official until the trade call happens, and we don't believe that's happened here. But this is one of these really complicated ones because of the Pittsburgh finances, and they're not in a position just to do a straight-up deal for Broussard with Pittsburgh, that there needs to be another team involved where ostensibly the Ottawa Senators would trade Derek Broussard to a third team, and that team would then flip him over to Vegas. And what that would allow is for some extra salary retention and rewards for doing that, and it gets complicated. So I don't profess to know all the details other than just what I tweeted, and that is there is a third team involved. I'm hearing it's Vegas, but I've not confirmed that. I'm hearing it's likely that it will be the Vegas Golden Knights would get Derek Broussard, and then they would promptly turn around, retain some salary, flip them to Pittsburgh, and they would get, obviously, something for retaining that extra salary that facilitates this deal being done.
Jimmy Rutherford, man, he is something else leading up the trade deadline, and it's paid off for him the past 2 years. Pittsburgh's won the Cup twice in a row, and now he makes another deal bringing in Derek Broussard to be a depth centerman.
Well, he's a third-line centerman, third line. And he understands how valuable Bonino was in the past two Cups. You got to do it. And he's kind of like with the Penguins. When they're kind of done, he'll be done too.
Jimmy Rutherford.
Oh, yeah.
See you later. I mean, it's pretty incredible, isn't it, Bob?
Yeah, it really is. And, I mean, you know, assuming it all goes through and there's no reason to doubt it, but as I said, complicated stuff has to get the seal of approval from the league. It's fascinating that, you know, it's funny. When Jimmy took the job in Pittsburgh, there were a lot of people who said, you know what? This doesn't make sense that Jimmy, as a general manager in Carolina, who had obviously won a cup there, but then some pretty very lean years. And a lot of people said, you know what, Jimmy was a good general manager, but he lost his fastball somewhere along the line. And I heard that and I understood it. And, you know, I'm like anybody else. Hey, you know, you never know. But I've known Jimmy a long time and I found him to be a pretty astute guy. And when he went into Pittsburgh, I said to people, don't underestimate Jimmy. I think he's a closer. I think Jimmy understands when the moment to pounce on something is, and he obviously did that. And, you know, and that was the Kessel deal. That was most, let's be honest, that was fraught with peril. Trading for Phil Kessel at that money at that time was a huge risk for a team that was right on the doorstep of winning the Cup. And quite frankly, in that year where he picked Mike Johnson to be his coach, you know, at Christmas, January, whenever it was, didn't look too good. And everybody was saying, yeah, you know what? He lost his fastball. It's not there. And then all of a sudden he makes a coaching change. He brings in Mike Sullivan, and it's like the switch goes off. And from that moment, from when Sullivan came in right through to when they won their first Cup, it was like, wow. You know, he's pushing all the right buttons, got all the right levers in place. And then they come back and it's like, okay, you know, we got to make changes because of the cap. We're going to make changes. And boom, they do it again. And so suddenly there's Jimmy and he's back-to-back Stanley Cup champions in a salary cap era when nobody else has done it. And now he wants to go for three. And he knows better than anybody. He'd be the first one to tell you. This window is barely open. And we're gonna kick right through and we're gonna do everything we possibly can. First round picks, prospects, whatever it takes. We're not giving up key guys off our roster and we're gonna give it our best shot. And there's no guarantee that Derek Broussard or anybody else pushes them over the top, but he's gonna give them their best opportunity and nobody's gonna second guess after the fact that he sat on his hands when he could have done something.
With Bob McKenzie, what's the latest on Erik Karlsson?
Well, I think dialogue continues, and I think there's more than one team involved, and I think the dialogue is progressing, but I don't want to say that in such a way that somebody says, oh, that means it's happening, because I'm not saying it's happening. It's complicated. You know, if the Broussard thing is complicated, this one's seven ways to Sunday more complicated. Just because of the magnitude of it. And right now, there's no question the Ottawa Senators want the Tampa Bay Lightning or whomever they're talking to take Bobby Ryan's deal. And that complicates it further. but it doesn't. I don't think it knocks it out of the water. And but the key then is, if you're a team like, if it's Tampa or somebody else, you know, you might be in cap hell or in a situation where you just can't take Bobby Ryan right now. Okay, that's fair enough. Let's find that third team. Let's find another team that's going to take Bobby Ryan for us. We'll have to pay ante up for that. That's the cost of doing business. But we're getting Erik Karlsson potentially at a somewhat lesser value because the Bobby Ryan thing is included. That's part of the value that Ottawa gets. So we can do this. So that's kind of what's going on right now, is everybody, I guess, making all sorts of phone calls and trying to find out whether you get a landing spot for Bobby Ryan, and if so, you know, what's the cost of doing that? So it gets complicated. But the bottom line is, Ottawa, as we've been saying for a couple of days now, Ottawa seriously engaged in looking at finding a way to make this happen before the deadline. I don't know if they will, but they're trying.
Based on your read, the Bobby Ryan connection to it, is that because Ottawa, and specifically their owner, just wants to save the money, or is it because they intend on spending that money again?
Well, only Eugene knows for sure. I mean, people are going to be cynical and say, right, it's Eugene Melnyk, he just wants to save the money. But you know what? What I've learned in this business is you can get up on a soapbox and you can scream and yell and say, oh, this is BS, and they're minimizing their value on Karlsson. There's no question they're decreasing their value on Karlsson, but not if, as you suggest, the money that they would save on Bobby Ryan, they can spend on somebody who's younger and more proficient. So until Eugene proves in this situation, and I was going to say that he's tight and that he won't spend the money. I mean, historically, whatever you want to say about the Senators, when Brian Murray wanted to go to the well and acquire players, including Bobby Ryan, Eugene Melnyk stepped up and wrote the check. He wrote the check to sign him. So I don't think it's fair up front to say, oh, this is just a BS move by the Senators to save a few dollars. Because we don't know if they're going to reinvest those dollars in something that's better than Bobby Ryan. And if they are, that's a smart move.
With Bob McKenzie. So based on what we know about Austin Matthews, and I don't know how much we really know, but he's going to be out for a bit. Presuming he returns to 100% before the playoffs, does this affect in any way the approach to the trade deadline for the Maple Leafs?
I don't think so. I would say my stock answer on that would be no. And my sense, as near as I can tell, I'm not a doctor, but as near as I can tell, this Austin Matthews injury is going to start. They call it day-to-day. Day-to-day in the Leaf lexicon is usually more week to 2 weeks, quite often. Like, day-to-day for most people is he could be back by, you know, the beginning of the week. I don't get that. And then it was day-to-day, but then Mike Babcock says he's going to be out for a bit. Well, you know, if you know the language of Mike Babcock, a bit means at least a week, week and a half, maybe a little bit longer. This wouldn't surprise me if it's a low-level shoulder separation. That's my guess. And I'm not a doctor, and I don't have any inside information. I'm guessing low-level shoulder separation, oh, would know this, 2-3 weeks, sometimes faster, sometimes longer. It can linger. It can heal quicker. And you know the Leafs are not going to rush them back into the lineup. They got a pretty good buffer there for making the playoffs. There's no sense. But at the end of the day, I mean, the playoffs don't start until almost mid-April or the first week of April. A long way off. Like, it's, what, still 6 weeks? So I don't think there's any real sense of panic on that front. That said, if you know that he might be out for a couple of weeks and the team's going to have to maybe play a little tighter, I don't know, does it make you feel a little bit more like, hey, maybe we should get Ryan McDonagh here to tighten things up and start playing a tighter defensive brand of hockey? I don't know, perhaps, but I wouldn't put too much stock in that.
All right, Bob, enjoy the weekend. I'm sure you will.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
There's Bob McKenzie, our Hockey Insider. Brought to you by Finance It. Add a payment plan to your tool belt and break down large price tags into easy, affordable payments with Finance It. You can hear his phone just buzzing.
Yeah. He's literally, but he's working right now. This is why he's the best in the business. But Ryan McDonagh's name is really interesting. Keeps getting floated to Toronto, and I don't know if it's, I mean, credible sources, obviously, Drags has linked the name there, but
I think he's
on
a
lower
fantastic
levels.
Player.
So do I.
He was 2 years ago, I kind of fell in love with him playing in the playoffs. I think Dregs and I were in Montreal covering Habs, Rangers.
Yeah.
And he was just unreal.
Yeah.
There's a bit of a dip. He's not having a great year right now, but I think he's a fantastic player.
I agree. Now,
what do you pay? That's the question, right? Like, yeah. There's no denying he's available. Like, yeah. That seems to be open. That doesn't mean the Rangers are going to do
Derek Brassard just cost a first-round pick.
Yeah.
So what the hell does Ryan McDonagh cost?
Well, more than that. Like, yeah. First in a prospect and then maybe something beyond that. So you're looking at a hefty price, and you're also dealing with a bit of an arms race here that I'm not sure the Leafs would be overly comfortable with. But it feels like Tampa and Boston are at least engaging in this to an extent, because Boston's already made a couple of minor moves.
Right.
But they made a couple of moves, and it sounds like they're still included in a lot of these conversations. And Tampa's the team that comes up all the time when we talk Carlson and McDonagh.
Well, you know that Stevie Y is being proactive, and Boston is too. They traded Frank Vetrano.
For a pick to open up a spot.
Opening spot, take a little bit of money off their cap.
Which the Leafs did with Eric Fair, with Soshnikov.
Yeah. There's
these teams are posturing. Open for business.
Yes, they're posturing.
Yeah, it comes down to what you're willing to trade. And like, I had LeBron in here yesterday, and we were just spitballing. This wasn't like inside information or an actual legit rumor or report. But would you be comfortable with if the Rangers called and said it's going to be a first round pick and either Dermott or Kapanen? You can pick.
I would say Kapanen.
So would I. And I would do that deal personally.
I think Dermott is... I'm excited to see where his ceiling is. Where Kapanen, I think he has... You know, he's a good skater. He's got a good shot. And I think he has upside there. Take a look at their right side.
Yeah, he's way behind Marner and Nylander. He's not going to pass them at
any point.
Marner,
Nylander, and Brown is on term too. Okay? So even if he pushes past Brown to get to the third line, I feel like that could be, that position could be filled through free agency. Or like, I'm not taking anything away from Kasperi Kapanen. I think that their depth on the right side would make him expendable.
Absolutely. I would be willing to do that. If that was what the price was, I'd be willing to do it. But we don't know what the price is, and right. We don't know what other teams are willing to pay. But, like, if I was New York, I would be feeling like there's more of an urgency to get this deal done now as opposed to carrying over the letter to the fans into the summer.
Right.
You know what I mean? They sent their letter out. Everyone's
you send
like,
the letter out.
It's like, go, do it. Like, we get it. You're going to be bad, and but don't drag it into the summer or, oh, we didn't get the deal we want, so it's next trade deadline. And I know you still have to do your business.
Right.
But how much different is the price for McDonagh really going to be in the summer or next year? Like, we always talk about that. Like, oh, right. You're going to get more because more teams are going to be involved. Yeah, but he's also going to have one less run involved. So you get McDonagh for two playoff runs.
Right.
You know, same thing with Carlson now.
That's what the urgency seems to be wrapped around Eric Carlson's name, is a team that's poised to try and do something this year and next year. That's why you're going to pay a king's ransom.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading today about Pittsburgh. Their cupboards are bare.
Oh, they've unloaded everything. They haven't had a first-round pick in years since Kapanen.
But what's going to happen...
And they traded him.
You're right. But what's going to happen is... 10 years from now, if we're still on this show, we're going to be sitting there going,
they're
Pittsburgh's
brutal.
A tire fire.
They will be brutal.
They're going to be, because the cycle, Chicago has got some contracts and stuff, and they're headed in that direction, but they went all in and won three cups.
Yeah.
Like they're,
but that's the interesting thing.
Fault
here, though,
them for that.
Taves is younger than Malkin and Sid.
Yeah.
Kane's younger than that. You know what I mean? Like the Pens have won their cups and they're still rolling.
Hey, you never know when a tire fire is going to come your way.
And it happens quick.
But, absolutely. But you,
look at Ottawa.
But I also feel that this league is so volatile, you can turn it around pretty quick, too. Because
If you make the right moves.
Exactly.
And you have the right flexibility.
But do you think Vegas is going to, like next year, halfway through the season, be first overall in the NHL?
No, but there's such a strange unique case. I was reading today, Peter Chiarelli came out and said, now they want team speed. They want speed. Yeah. That's what they're looking for. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, let me get this straight. You
After
traded
getting
arguably...
Eberle and Taylor Hall are gone, and now you want some team speed.
And you gave all that money to Lucic, and obviously no one thinks he's speedy.
2 years ago, you wanted some meat. You wanted Lucic, and you traded for Patrick Maroon. Now you need speed.
Well, they do need speed.
That's true. But they've already used a lot of their resources to get what they currently have.
They've got some guys who are 25 and under. I think one or two moves in Edmonton, they'll be back in a playoffs position next year. I personally do.
If Talbot returns, easier said than done.
We'll call him the X Factor.
The big X Factor.
The big guy X Factor.
You knew it was coming.
All right, Mike Commodore will join us. One of the great follows on Twitter. He's an insider. He's breaking news.
Yeah, I don't think he's hit on any of these.
Phone is buzzing.
He's constantly updating everyone on what's going on throughout the NHL.
Yeah.
So Mike has a message for people.
Yes, he does. Longtime NHLer. Noodles, you were a teammate of his?
Yeah.
Well, you never played with Commodore, did you?
He came to Carolina when I left.
Yeah, he won a cup, didn't he? He did. Did he win a cup?
Yeah, because I went to
his cup party.
He was on that team, I think, in Carolina.
So he won a cup.
Yeah, he won the cup. So we'll catch up with Mike Commodore. And Team Nerd, a.k.a. Team Corsi, will be in the house at 6 p.m. Jonas Siegel and Mark Masters looking to get the belt back. Not happening. The boys are feeling very confident.
Do I got to wear the good luck football helmet?
You have to. I got my headband I'm going to wear.
All right.
We have to resort. I'm a superstitious trivia guy.
Really? You don't have your hoodie. Piss me off.
Yeah, I know. I was surprised you picked up on that. Yeah. You miss out on the most obvious details, but something like that, all of a sudden, it really caught your ire.
But I love your excuse. I think it's in the wash. You wore it a month ago.
Well, I've worn it between trivia and today.
Really? A random white hoodie, I think it was? And you just wore it?
What do you think I am? Like, I don't have a wardrobe at home of like 15,000 different hoodies and
so
sweaters.
Stupid.
I've got a rotation of about 15 outfits, tops, including the suits I own. All right, Mike Commodore coming up. Trivia night kicks off at 6. All right, Mike Commodore is going to join us here in a moment. Quick update, Tiger Woods is wrapping up his second round at the Honda Classic, and he was performing really well earlier in the round. He was at 2-under on the day, I believe, through 10. And last time I checked, he was 2-over, but I believe he just birdied. So I think he's 1-over, moving on to 17 or 18. And
he's on 18 green.
He's on the 18th, so that's going to make the cut. The leader's at 3-under.
Yeah, I said he would miss the cut. This is a very difficult golf course. The wind is up, lots of water. But he's kind of keeping it together, and we'll see if he can make a weekend out of it instead of... Nobody wants to see Tiger Woods tee off at 8 in the morning on the weekend.
No.
Does he win? Does he win this tournament?
He's not going to win the tournament, no. But the fact that he's going to make the cut is a good sign. You got to give him the opportunity to grow his game back, right? You don't expect him to just show up and win everything right off the bat. It's going to take him some time. I just hope that come the Masters, he's performing in a way that
doesn't embarrass himself.
Yeah, it resembles who Tiger Woods really is. Because I'm with you. You don't want to see this guy rolling out and throwing up like 80s and stuff.
It's not good for the game.
No, it'd be terrible. It'd be difficult to watch.
I think Commodore's a good golfer, too. I heard that.
Does he play?
Vicious rumor. Well, I don't know if he's as good as O, but he's...
We've never had him on the show before. He's a longtime NHLer, one of the great follows on Twitter. He's got a couple of shirts out. He sent us a bunch of shirts, too, which was awesome.
Yes.
And he's an insider, man. If you follow him on Twitter, this guy's breaking deals.
An insider with four R's.
That's the best part of it. Here's a cup winner, former NHLer, former teammate of yours, Noodles.
Friend of the show.
Friend of the show, even though he's never been on before. Here's Mike Commodore. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. Finally, I'm happy to be on. Took long enough.
Yeah, I don't know what the holdup was.
Well, there was some.
We had to figure out the no swearing, commie. You can't swear on the show.
Oh, yeah. No, I got under control, guys. Don't worry.
It was like a three-way deal. It was kind of like the Carlson deal that's being worked right now. We had to maneuver some legal stuff to get you on the show, but it's all good.
Well, I appreciate the effort you guys are putting in. Thank you.
Do you think Erik Karlsson should pack his you-know-what, or what are your thoughts on that?
I think Erik Karlsson should definitely pack his gear, no question about it. I'm not sure where he's going to go. I mean, that's a pretty big salary, but... I think it's probably in everybody's best interest for him to hit the road with his suitcase.
Yeah, man, I'm on board with that. I just want something crazy to happen. You guys look at it differently as players, right?
But if you're a Leafs fan, do you want him in Tampa?
No, that's terrifying.
That's the terrifying thing because, I mean, He's going to be, wherever he goes, if he goes, he's going to be rejuvenated and on fire.
That's what we're expecting. I mean,
for what it's worth, fellas, my sources are telling me Tampa. and that's for real, too. I'm not making this up. It's for real. And I got a solid source on this one. I was waiting till tomorrow to fire it out on Twitter.
Well, there you go.
It's going to be all over TSN.ca now, man. So gear up. Your phone will be blown up.
I guess the secret's out. Oh, yeah.
There's no holding back now. You know, I'm always intrigued to talk to NHL players. Like, you guys, you've talked about your days with the trade deadline, but how do you feel about it in general? I mean, is it good times, bad times, nightmares, PTSD? Like, what's the deal in terms of the way you look back on your own experience with the trade deadline?
I mean, for me, I think I ended up getting traded pretty much or moved kind of in every way possible and kind of every time of year. Like my first time I found out at a bar in the summer, New Jersey didn't even call me. In their defense, the phone reception wasn't great. But, yeah, some guy came up to me at the bar in the middle of nowhere, Minnesota, and said, hey, congrats. I was like, on what? He's like, oh, you just got traded. I'm like, to where? He's like, Anaheim. And I'm like, so I went and watched the TV and found it there and, I mean, I would say, like, overall, I mean, it depends on everybody's individual situation. There were times when I was, I mean, excited to get traded. I mean, when I got traded out of Detroit, that was a good thing for me because I obviously wasn't playing there. And I mean, it didn't really work out that great anyways, but at least it was an opportunity somewhere else. So, yeah, if things aren't going well, I mean, either personally or, I guess, team-wise, I mean, it's definitely, I think it's exciting, I mean, especially if you end up going somewhere where the team's rolling. And I definitely think it definitely can be exciting, and I don't have a family. I don't have any kids or anything like that. That part of it, for guys that have to go through that, that would be, I would imagine, very stressful. If you've been somewhere for a while, or you kind of got to uproot everybody and move them, or maybe you don't move them right away, but you know you're not coming back, so that would be a pain for sure.
How close do you track the league right now? I mean, I know you've retired recently, and you're trying to work your way back kind of into society. Is it something that you track daily, or you're in and out of the league and stay in touch with the guys that you played with?
Yeah, I would say I've been out now, this is my fourth year. I would say the first 2 years, I wanted nothing to do with it. I mean, I would like keep track. I would literally check the odd box score just for guys that I know, but I didn't watch any of it. To be honest, I probably kind of avoided it. Last year I started getting into it a little bit more, and then this year I've tried to be on top of it. I'm like read more, and I mean I've always tried to keep in touch with. I mean I played with a million guys because I got traded all the time, so I can't keep in touch with all of them. But I try and keep in touch with a good portion of them, and it's starting to be fun again for me.
With Mike Commodore,
you've got a T-shirt out that says #InOne. Who are some of your favorite teammates from the past that you enjoyed getting in one with?
Oh, God.
You have to describe what #InOne means first.
Okay. So, like, in a nutshell, it kind of came. I did this podcast, Spittin' Chiclets, and I told this story about I played my last year in Russia. And long story short, at dinner at this 5-star restaurant in Vladivostok, Russia, went there for dinner with a couple of Russians, ended up not eating too much and crushing a bunch of beers, having a good time with them. And I said I was in one, and I got jumped by a couple of Russians in the restaurant and ended up in, like, a full-blown brawl. Like, as far as I was concerned, I was fighting for my life. I mean, I didn't speak the language. There was cutlery flying everywhere. I was throwing chairs. I mean, it was on. And I said I was in one. And so I said this on the podcast, and, like, people kind of, they thought it was funny. They enjoyed it. They were tweeting about it a little bit. And then Sauce Hockey in Scottsdale here messaged me and asked if I wanted to make a T-shirt. So I said, yeah, sure, why not? It kind of went from there. As far as guys that I really enjoyed, I mean, the team that Jamie and I were on together there, I mean, basically three-quarters of that team I enjoyed getting in one with. Rhett always comes to mind. He was always very fun.
Yeah, I mean, it was...
you guys were a bunch of piss tanks.
We were a team that certainly enjoyed ourselves. But
I can remember I had buddies... You're talking about Calgary, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I can remember in Carolina, we're just getting random texts saying, you guys should have a good chance to win tonight, because half of that team you're playing tonight was pissed drunk at the bar till 2 in the morning.
The Calgary Flames were a big fan of the old Cowboys, I will say that.
Yeah,
but it worked for us.
Black armbands when they burned that thing to the ground. I mean, that was... I think it burned a lot of stories, too. I was fine with it.
That's a good thing, yeah. The spirits disappear.
Yeah. It's a different game, though, in today's world, Mike. And you know guys that still play in the game. Some of them are old school guys. Some of them have had to conform to the new school. You know, talk about the difference between even 5 years ago to what the guys are telling you in today's world.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm keeping in touch with some guys. Like, for instance, one of the guys on one of the teams, like, keeping pretty good touch with, and he was like, you know, he messages me once in a while, and one thing from this year was, you know, like, every year the team has a Halloween party, right? And it's a team party, like, you know, all the guys and wives and girlfriends, and everybody gets together somewhere, and you have a good time together, and, you know, make a night of it. And one example was, you know, he messaged me, he's like, it's 10 o'clock at night, and everybody's gone. It was like him and like two or three guys kind of hanging out, and all the young guys came in for like an hour or two and then took off. And I was like, well, you know, they're young, maybe they're single, I'm like, maybe they went somewhere else for a little bit. He's like, no, everybody went home. So that's obviously very different. I think, what was the guy from Winnipeg there, Line A?
Yeah,
wasn't his quote like, doesn't he spend all of his time on the road playing video games?
Call
That's of Duty or something, isn't it? There's a game out
it's
there.
Fortnite. Fortnite is a big one now, and I've never played it. Fortnite. I don't even know I have no idea how it works, what it's all about, but the Leafs talk about it all the time. Like, it's like a big story here when they talk about Matthews and how good he is at Fortnite. I'm like, this is Matthews in Toronto. Think about the work
like,
this guy could
this
put
guy
in.
What is this guy doing?
No kidding.
Yeah. I mean, like, I couldn't imagine being, like, at home, especially if you're Austin Matthews. I mean, I would be soaking it up. Although I'm sure he gets hassled there. But I mean, you got to find some way to soak it up a little bit. But yeah, like going on the road. I mean, that's you guys know. I mean, that's a time to kind of hang out with the guys. You get away from your families and stuff like that. And I don't know. It wasn't the time to. I mean, I guess you travel with your Xbox and plug it into the TV. I mean, I guess.
Yes, I don't.
I don't know, man.
Near the end,
I was more into soaking it up.
I like that term. Commie. You better
soaking it up.
You better trademark that one too. Hashtag soaking it up.
Soak it up.
Yeah, man, get on Shark Tank with that. They'll pay a lot of money to get involved in hashtag soak it up. Yeah, it's true, man. I mean, McDavid and Edmonton, Matthews here. It's
yeah, but Mike, we all liked having a good time, but can you imagine going out with social media? It's like you can't like drink a beer and somebody takes a picture saying this guy's a drunk or whatever. You can't go anywhere. People are nuts.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point too. I mean, you could get away with it now with social media, explosion of social media and Twitter, and I mean, the camera phones have been around for a little while, but they weren't ever really used like that, at least at the beginning. So yeah, I can see it. Like, I know, like, Johnny Gaudreau got in trouble for that a little bit, like in Calgary, and I've seen him out just a couple of times. I mean, I'm not talking about like smashing beers and everything. I'm just talking about out for dinner or whatever after, and people want to come up and take pictures with him. And he's like, hey, look, like, you know, I can't. Like, if you post this somewhere, it's going to give off the wrong impression, then I'm going to hear about it. You know, I definitely don't need it. So, yeah, I see that side of it too, which is kind of sad. And I guess you start throwing house parties. I don't know.
Yeah, I think a lot of those guys have to be. Well, they have to be very private, or they have to be in a circle of trust with friends. That's really what it is. And I think that's why a lot of these young guys almost say, to hell with it. I'm going to stay in. I'm going to play my games. I'm going to be, you kind of have to lock it down during the season, or at least pick your spots, maybe where maybe it's on the road in a place like Arizona, or in a place that you can go and hide a little bit. That's where you get out. I mean, Mike, I know you're a little bit looser on Twitter and stuff, but what is your social media policy? Do you track it a ton, or you just have fun with it? Like, where are you at? Do you take it that seriously?
For me, if I don't think it's like funny or somewhat informative, then I kind of try not to tweet it. I mean, I would say 95% of what I fire out there, I'm just trying to have some fun and have a good time with it. But this has all basically happened once I was retired too, right? I mean, I can't say. Twitter kind of blew up. I think I started an account in 2010, and I was still playing. I was right before I got kicked out of Columbus. But, yeah, I can't say when I was playing too. I mean, I didn't tweet a whole lot. I was new to it also. But you definitely have to. You definitely have to watch what you say. Things can get. I've learned over the last few years that you say something that you might. There's a few things that you need to avoid at all costs on Twitter. because there's no winning, you know, politics, any kind of religion, anything like that. Even if you think it's funny, it can spiral out of control. I've sent a few tweets where I'm like, oh, my God, that is not what I intended, and I'm getting roasted right now. So it is, it's a learning experience for sure.
Well, thanks for doing this, Commie. Before we let you go, is there one more player in the National Hockey League that you would like to inform to pack their stuff?
Let's see here. Pack your stuff. I've got a little list here going. if there's one more player, I mean, there's the big one. I mean, Rick Nash, pack your stuff. I got it down to three teams. I think I know where I'm going with it, but I'm not for sure yet.
All right,
but Rick Nash is, what about Evander Kane? Does anybody want him?
I don't think so. You would think they would have pounced on him by now, wouldn't they?
I think he's gone. Like, St. Louis has to be in on one of these guys, to me. Whether it's Kane, Nash, you know, Hoffman, Pacioretty.
Not to be too long, what about the Leafs? What are they doing? I'm not going to fly off the handle. I like Toronto.
Yeah, it's a good question, man. I think is maybe Ryan McDonough. Maybe Ryan McDonough. That's a guy people
are trying. You'd have to give up the house for him, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you probably would, and that's the concern. But Boston might get in. Tampa might get in. It's a bit of an arms race in the Atlantic Division right now.
Yeah. All right.
Well, track what you got, man. We'll see where you bring it on tour this weekend.
Yeah, I'll make sure you guys know. I'll be bringing it tomorrow and the next day.
All right, buddy. We're looking forward to it. Thank you for doing this.
All right. Thanks for having me on, guys.
There's Mike Commodore, one of the great follows on Twitter.
Just soaking it up.
Just, I'd be soaking it up. And we all know what that, imagine being Matthews in Toronto. Like, it can go both ways.
Yeah.
You'd be constantly the center of attention. There would be people constantly trying to get your attention and maybe take advantage of you.
Yeah.
But he'd also have access
to anything,
to everything and anything.
Mm-hmm.
And this city's a pretty good city to have
access.
Absolutely.
It's a great city to go out in. But again, he has to be careful, like Austin does. But there should be times where he could go out and soak it up.
Just give him a free night. Nobody bothers him. Everyone packs their phone. Yeah, no one brings it out. You do whatever you want. Old school, like Boreal Salming type old school night out.
Dougie Gilmore, pea soup.
Dougie Gilmore before his six assists.
Sittler.
It was a game day. All right, trivia night at 6 p.m. We'll get back into the Matthews news. We'll get back into the Derek Brassard trade, which is not official yet, but it sounds as if he'll end up in Pittsburgh in the end.
Right.
And the latest on Erik Karlsson, Raptors back in action tonight. Blue Jays kicking off their spring training campaign as well. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app. The countdown is on. My understanding is Team Nerd is in the house, Masters and Siegel. Kara Wagland will be joining us here as well, and Noodles, you and her will kind of be doing the play-by-play and moderating everything.
Yeah, I'm the play-by-play, she's the moderation, and I also am the phone-a-friend or the Ask Noodles.
Yep, so for trivia, each team, if we get stumped, you can ask Noodles once for some help. If he gets stumped, you're basically screwed. But the belt is back on the line. We're willing to entertain the idea of losing the belt, but if we win it again and we retain it, then all of a sudden we're going out on the town with Masters and Siegel. And that is something that I think TSN would be very interested in. I could see them sending a cameraman with us.
For sure.
Just a party. Shake things up here in Toronto. Soak it in. Was it soak it up? Yeah, it was soak it up. Hashtag soak it up, as Mike Commodore would say.
Exactly. Soak it up.
So we'll get to that. We've got our Friday 5-pack as well, which will probably be based on how the trivia goes. It's O-Dog's birthday. We're feeling good. We're amped up. The belt will be on the line. Trivia 2.0 next.